Welcome to the Million Dollar Peace Podcast. I'm your host, Kirsten Roldan, and I help people build peaceful million and multi-million dollar businesses all day. I'm a New Yorker that ran a multiple six-figure funnel agency before becoming a million dollar business coach. I support coaches, service providers, and agency owners inside my two programs, Million Dollar Email and Million Dollar CEO, where I have enrolled hundreds of clients exclusively through email with a list below 1,000 subscribers and a lean team of just contractors. I'm able to take off from my business for months at a time without operations, delivery, or sales stopping. People are shocked by how much we do with such little stress, payroll, and social media. I'm on a mission to eliminate burnout from the industry, and I believe we can with the right team, systems, and mindset. I want more millionaires that aren't overworked and stressed. I want you to have peace. And that starts at the side hustle, six-figure, and multiple six-figure levels. Around here, we believe no peace means no growth, and we've got work to do. So let's dive in. Hello, peaceful millionaires. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited to have my longtime client on, Gina Knox. For those of you that don't know Gina and don't know our history together, Gina came to me making 30K a year, and this year is going to be her first million dollar year. And I am so excited. I know she's making a face. I'm so excited for it. I'm going to have her introduce herself. I've had her on the podcast before. We've talked about million dollar email with her. We've even talked about million dollar CEO and all the work that she's done. She went from having no team at all and actually being very resistant to having a team, not wanting one, to having a full-blown team and now making, you know, 500K and a million a year. So today, what we're talking about is, you know, she is continuing in the Million Dollar CEO program and what results has she had with her team? And we want to talk about that today. So Gina, introduce yourself to those that don't know you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Kirsten, for having me. My name is Gina Knox. I'm a financial coach for entrepreneurs with variable income. I have two programs. My signature program is a 12-month group for entrepreneurs who want to save $100,000 cash in their businesses, which is such a core and needed skill just to manage our inconsistent income. We need savings. So that's what we focus on in Six Figure Saver. And then in my 6-month mastermind, Seven Figure Wealth, we take all of the skills that you've learned in Six Figure Saver, and we really extrapolate it to building out personal wealth in your personal life, taking all the goodness of your business and making sure that you are also personally benefiting from all the work that you're doing by building out your stock market portfolio, building out your real estate portfolio, and paying off personal debt.
So good. Just so, so good. I am in all of Gina's offers. I am like a big Gina fan. We love her over here. So make sure you go check her out. Okay. First thing, Gina. So I told Gina in the green room that I want to talk to her today about her profit. And as a money coach, as the money coach in the industry, of course, she's always profitable, right? Like she's profitable, right? But, you know, recently we helped her work on her profit so that she could have more. And we ended up increasing it by 50% monthly, right? And monthly recurring, like we reduce her expenses, her monthly expenses. And I want to talk about that for a few reasons, because it's very common for people to be like, when we're talking about increasing your profit and all of that, it's very common. And you've been one of these people before too, to be like, well, I'm actually good. Like I pay myself. I really like my profit. I'm doing well with it. And, you know, we gave you some coaching on that. So can you talk about that?
Yeah. I remember I had kind of bloated my team, I would say, a bit. And you gave me some coaching around your philosophy around the bills offer and the savings offer. And so for those of you who are listening who don't know, the bills offer, it's like the offer that you have that needs to pay your business's bills, and then the savings offer that brings in the savings. And if we were looking at my bills offer wasn't paying the bills. Which the way I thought about that coaching, the way I internalized it was, oh, if my bills offer isn't paying the bills, that means I'm overspending on things I don't need yet, right? So it wasn't like, oh, these team members suck, or I'm spending my money in the wrong place. It was more like, oh, if my bills offer isn't paying the bills, then I'm doing what I would call future problem spending, right? I'm spending money on things I don't need to be spending my money on yet. I need to focus on getting my bills offer to pay my bills. And if I need to do that, there's some I need to cut to get that going. And it wasn't fun.
It wasn't fun. Yeah, let's talk about this. Okay, so, and just to name, you know, you might be like, Gina, you make a lot, it sounds like you make a lot of money. How was your bills offer not paying the bills? Her bills were getting paid, but it was through what we call the savings offer. And for her, her savings offer was her mastermind, which is a higher ticket offer. And so what I remember coaching you on, like, yeah, of course, if you're running your business based on your higher ticket offers revenue, you're going to have higher ticket expenses, right?
Right.
And it's going to be unnecessary. So we actually teach this framework where you actually run your business on the lower ticket offer so that you're never stressed, or so that when you lose a mastermind client or a one-on-one coaching client, you're not like, oh my gosh, everything is, you know, we all know the feeling of like the $2,500 a month payment failed. Now what do we do? Right. Or whatever it is. And right. We don't want that to be the case with people. So that's what she means by that. Tell us more about like it being hard.
Well, I got this coaching in December, I believe. And I was like, Kirsten, I just signed a contract like 2 days ago. I just signed a contract to renew with one of my team members who was $1,500 a month for 6 more months. And you're like, yeah, you shouldn't have done that. And I was like, like, again, and I loved working with this team member. I really, like, they were really good at their work. But because of the coaching I was getting, I was seeing how this team member wasn't necessary for my bottom line. And that doesn't mean I won't go back to them in the future one day. But I remember I emailed them and I had to say, hey, things have changed. And it was awful because I really respect this team member. And I followed the framework that you teach in Million Dollar CEO. I wrote a really nice email. She responded very lovely. She was like, it's been wonderful working with you. Hope to, you know, work together again in the future. At the end of the day, it was all fine. Oh, but like sending those emails is just awful because you feel like, it's funny, you have this philosophy about mothering your team and about don't mother your team. It's not your job to be their mother. And I'm sure you can speak more on that. But I was always like, yeah, I'm sure people do that, but not me. I don't do that. Until it came down to the time to be like, I have to send this email and tell this person I'm not going to continue working with them. And they have a kid and I really am rooting for them. And oh my God, all the mothering came out. And at the end, it was okay. It was best for both of us in the sense that it was best for my business because of where my business is at. But it was also best for her to have a client who is fully bought into her process and not have this client who's wishy-washy like I was being. So yeah, it's just like, at the end of the day, it's all good. But it just sucks sending those emails, especially when you personally like the people that you're working with.
Yeah. And why was that the most peaceful decision? Because oftentimes we have to take some unpeaceful actions, but it is the most peaceful decision. Why did that end up being the most peaceful decision for you?
Number one, just to lower our payroll. Now our bills offer can cover our payroll. We're still working on getting the bills offer up to covering everything. But to have the knowledge that like my bills offer will pay my payroll is so huge. Because as a scaling business, payroll is the most expensive expense for every single person, right? Like, payroll is just expensive and it's recurring monthly. So to know that my bills offer is covering my payroll is so peaceful, but also to know I'm working on the right things for my business right now is peaceful. And I'm not wasting my time because it's not just the money, it's the time, right? I'm not wasting my time working on this project that I was working on this team member with that actually wasn't something that my business needed me to do right now. So it also brings me back time that I was taking managing them and working on the projects with them. And it gives me the space to pour that time back into the things that my bills offer needs to pay the bills.
This is so good. There's a few things. First of all, I remember telling you, especially with your $1 million year, like how amazing is it going to feel when you have 50% more profit in your $1 million year, like your highest year ever? But also, like, I was saying that it shouldn't be that expensive. Like going from 500K to a million, it's very easy to blow. Even going from any income level, like if you're trying to kind of double, people tend to double the team. And I'm always like, no, 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 you don't always need to double the team, right? And I remember hearing you on a few coaching calls being like, it's getting a little expensive. It's getting a little expensive. And me being like, no, 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 it should not be getting that expensive, right? So I love to see that for you. The other thing that I remember giving you coaching on is what a lot of people don't realize is that profit is a leadership issue, and it actually reveals leadership gaps. Because I remember you were like, I am profitable, like everything is paying for itself, everything is good, of course. But I was like, yes, but you're having leadership issues and I'm seeing it in your payroll, right? Can you speak more to like the leadership things that were being shown in your payroll?
Well, I don't know if this is what you're alluding to, and you can just redirect me if it's not, but there was an agency that I had hired on. They were quite expensive, and they were helping me with a problem that I was falling back into old patterns of, I don't like this thing in my business. Let me pay it away. An agency will fix it. Let me just throw it to them. And if they do it, it'll be perfect, instead of figuring out the issue myself. And I've done this in the past. I did this right before we started working together, when I didn't know how to sell my offers to my current audience. I didn't know how to convert. And so what did I do? In little baby Gina's brain, I was like, let me get into Facebook ads and do a Facebook ad mastermind. I was trying to pay away my problem of not knowing how to convert instead of learning the skill of conversion. And I just did the same thing again. And it was just with a different skill, right? So again, it's not even like, oh, that agency sucked, or, oh, that mastermind I joined was bad. It has nothing to do with that. It was me being like, I don't want to solve this.
Yeah.
Pay someone else to solve it. And the irony is that that doesn't work. You like can't pay someone to solve a problem that you haven't fundamentally reconciled yourself. At least that's my belief. And so I stuck to the contract. I did the 3-month minimum with them, but then I was like, we can't continue because this is not working, because I'm, to your point about leadership, I'm not actually leading the charge on solving this problem in my business. I'm avoiding it by hiring an agency.
Yeah. And now you're creating more work, because then if the agency doesn't, you know, do what you wanted it to, then you have more feedback and all these revisions. It's a never ending cycle. And something that we teach inside the program for this reason is, I'm always like, do you even have a system for it? Are you even doing that consistently? Are you even trying to do it? Are you like, what, you know what I mean? And if you're not, then you're probably prematurely hiring. We actually teach a 90-day pause, which a lot of my clients just absolutely love. I'm being sarcastic. We teach.
I obviously didn't do the 90-day pause, everybody.
Right? We teach a 90-day pause, right? Where it's like, wait, before you go into it, why don't you set up, like, why don't you have your current team with what they can do, with what's in scope, moving this offer forward, or for whatever it is, or where can we make it easy for you to be able to do it? If it's something that involves you and needs you, where can we make it easy for you to do it rather than just outsourcing it?
And to that point, at the end of the day, this problem that I had tried to outsource was a systems problem. I didn't have a system to deliver the thing that I was paying someone else to figure out. And so if I don't have the system, how can I expect them to have a system that works perfectly for my business? Is not going to happen.
Totally. Because you don't have the capacity to think about it. Like, it becomes a whole thing.
Yeah. And also, if I haven't figured out the kind of solution to the problem, how can I lead the agency in the solution to the, right? Because like, if I fundamentally don't understand how it all works, I'm not going to be able to be a good leader and outsource that work to somebody else, because I won't be able to see the gaps because I haven't figured it out myself.
And a lot of y'all have calendar issues fundamentally as well, that's keeping you from having the capacity to actually think of these things, where it's like, that's just a simple systems issue. I have saved people thousands of dollars being like, that's just a document to your team. Like, that's not anything serious at all.
We make it so big in our heads.
Yes. And I want to talk about that, because you posted a win that I really loved, and you said, you know, you got your payroll down by 50% a month starting in March. And you said, I'll be giving myself a $36,000 a year post-tax raise because of my increased profit starting in March. And you said, you know, of course, in Gina fashion, which I plan on adding to my investment portfolio, which in turn will generate an additional $4K for me in 12 months. Have to plug the seven-figure wealth of it all. But, which I love. And then you said, I freed up 16 hours a week on my calendar. 16 hours a week.
Yeah.
I've been able to get so much done in that time. Today, I filmed 6 reels and pre-recorded 3 sets of IG stories for my launch all by 11 a.m. Tell us about the calendar space. And like, I would love to hear you riff on calendar space and profit and what you think about it. Like,
I mean, they're the same thing. I mean, they're the same thing.
Yeah.
Let's just start there. I talk about this with my clients all the time because I have a spending framework for how to make spending decisions in your business. And I talk about like, it's so easy for us. And this is almost like the inverse for you. It's so easy for us to think about like the time I spend and how I spend my time will dictate sales and profitability. But same goes for your money. The way you spend your business's budget will also dictate profitability. And so like you have to have both. If I'm sitting here, all the wrong things, I'm sorry. I'm scaling from 500K to 1 million. I'm busy. I cannot be twiddling my thumbs doing random crap that I don't have time to do. So I have to be, it's hard for me because I probably have ADHD. Let's just be real honest. I'm not diagnosed, but like I get sidetracked real easy. And I love being like playing with my systems and playing in Airtable. I get sidetracked really, really easy. So at the beginning of this year, I was having a call with my operations manager and I was like, listen, we need to solve for Gina. Gina's struggling. We need to solve for Gina. And I created a weekly calendar framework for them to follow that solves my problem. So what we did was we did every single day has a theme. And we have a standing calendar in our calendar that you can kind of toggle on and off so it doesn't have to be always there. And each day has a theme. And each day in the description of the calendar says what to schedule today, what to get scheduled today. So Monday is my working day. I cleared up every single meeting on my calendar on Monday. Monday has no calls. And I have what to schedule today. Projects that require 2+ hours of dedicated time. Podcast interviews only if this is the only available and we're in a launch. Like, so there's actually like, not philosophies. There's like ways for the team to know if it's okay to override our rules. What doesn't get scheduled today? Team meetings, networking meetings, sales calls, coaching calls. Tuesday's my coaching day. Wednesday is my support day where I get coached and I have team meetings. Thursday is an open kind of floater call day. I have your for $1 million CEO, but also like, hi, I'm in my overalls right now because I have my advanced wheel throwing pottery class on Thursdays.
Love it.
Friday is a personal day and there is absolutely a very strict no work on Fridays. I have a dental appointment. It's a lot of medical stuff. Honestly, we're thinking about moving. So we're going to be driving like an hour away to go look at rental properties. It's the Gina day. And so basically what I did was to get 16 hours back, I cleared my Mondays and Fridays. Mm-hmm. My only days where I have meetings are Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. And I'm even working on getting Mondays down to a no work day too.
Yeah. And that requires delegating, leading your team to delegate without raising your expenses as well. Right. Like getting better with your system so that you can clear it without raising expenses. Cause you can have more space and more profit. Like you can have both. And usually I find when people are, same thing, like you can have all the calendar space in the world and be broke and that doesn't work. Right. Or you can have no calendar space and still not be making the money that you want because you're not doing the right things. Like there's a lot of things there, but you also have, you have daycare pickup as well. Like you have to end your day.
I was going to say, no, I start the earliest. I have a standing meeting with a friend. We go on walks in the morning and we don't usually end till about 9. So then I get home around 9 after my walk. And then I'm like showering, getting dressed. I usually start my workday at 10 and I have a hard stop 4 because I have to go get my daughter. So I don't even have full 9-to-5 workdays.
Yeah. You don't even have full 9-to-5 workdays and you don't have a huge team either.
No, now I have operations. We have our design team, which is an agency. So they have like lots of people, but we just interact with them, one of them. I have a personal EA, an executive assistant, who does very minimal things for me, but she like sets my doctor's appointments. She puts things on my calendar. Like next week I have to get blood work. So she put a note, Gina, do not eat anything. I'm like, thank you. Cause I would forget. So that's three. And then I have a co-coach. That's it.
Four people on her team, made 500K last year, is going to make a million this year.
That's it.
That is wild.
I've been trying to hide this from you. Mm-hmm. So I'll out myself. I don't even have a podcast editor right now.
We're not going to have this conversation right now. Okay, she's supposed to have five people, y'all. No, never mind. Don't listen.
I found an AI thing that works. So,
My goodness. Well, we'll keep it nice for the podcast.
You're like, and writing that note down for
now. And writing it down. No, I'm kidding. No, I love it. Yeah, so 4 to 5 team members only. So good. That's so good. Like,
well, it's also like so much easier to manage than having a whole team where I have like a wall of team meetings. I have 2 team meetings a week.
Yeah. And we really
and one of my team meetings is like 5-minute check-in. It's with my EA. We just call on the phone. Hey, how is this? Da da da. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's good because I only have like a 15-minute check-in with my EA too. And it really just shows the power of systems, number one, the power of leadership. And like, because it's very easy as a leader to be like, I have no time, figure out someone else to do it. And it shows the power of you being like, no, let's figure out the system to get it done. But also, it's kind of funny because my clients tend, they're like you, they go from no team, not wanting a team, to hire happy. So we give the income team-based framework, right? To make sure you know exactly who needs to be on your monthly ongoing team, but also even for specialists, because it doesn't mean you're never going to make a hire of a specialist or, you know, a video editor here and there or whatever you're doing. But we also have an entire how to make new investments framework to help you make sure you're making the best investment and it's not premature, rather than, you know, just like prematurely hiring on your team and then being like, oh, I have all these expenses now, or they're all at the same time. What I wanted to talk about is where you are now was not where you were last year.
No.
Where you were last year was you had team members making mistakes. They were missing deadlines. They were delaying launches. They were there was quite a few things going on last year. And yeah. I want to talk about that. So tell us more about that.
Okay. I think it was in May of last year. So it was earlier in the year. I was like, Kirsten, it's not working. I want to let go of my ops person. I'm sick of this. Like, I hate it. And I think that like I had re-signed or something. We had a VIP day for some reason. And you told me, and I've told so many people this, and everyone groans when they hear it because it's that good. You were like, I was like, I don't want to micromanage, but they're messing everything up and blah, 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 blah. And you go, Gina, under management leads to micromanagement. You're having to micromanage now because you've been under managing for a year. And I was like, like, are you kidding me? And it's been my worst nightmare to be a micromanaging boss. I think we don't talk about this enough, but I don't want to be the bad boss. I don't want to replicate what I had in corporate. I want my people to love me. And that led to me being afraid of micromanagement. So I undermanaged. And when you undermanage long enough, then balls start getting dropped, because it was working because my team member was keeping everything in her brain. But then when she changed something in her business, oh, it all fell apart. It all fell apart. And I wanted to blame her so bad. I wanted to be like, she sucks. She's dropping balls. She's the one missing deadlines. And then in our VIP day, you're like, let's see your SOPs. And I'm like, what? And you're like, that's the problem. Nothing is written down. Everything is in your guys' head. So if that person goes out on vacation or whatever, it's all going to fall apart. So I remember we sat down and we created my SOP doc. And now it's over 200 pages. and it is organized to the nines. It is the most beautiful SOP doc. When I show my friends, they're like, can you send me a copy? They're salivating over my SOPs.
We did a whole behind the scenes in the curriculum. I was like, Gina, come do a behind the scenes. We need to see everything. So when you join, you'll be able to see it.
No, they were so, so good. And it's because you told me you're micromanaging because you were undermanaging. And that like changed my life.
Yeah, no, that was a game changer. And it really did, like, it completely shifted the way you led. And if people are wondering, she is still with the same person. And that person is performing better now. And it's not, it's because my whole philosophy is process over people. I was like, stop focusing on the person and what they're doing or not doing or how they're performing. Focus on the process. Why aren't they, like, what's the issue with the process? Because they might leave one day. And what's going to happen? You're going to have another OBM that's not performing and you still never fix the process. And because you did that, now you have the same person and they're performing better because you focus on process.
I am so glad I did not let them go. I was this close.
Imagine.
I was this close. And I would have just replicated the same problem over and over again with any new person. And oh my gosh. And now I'm not afraid if they leave one day. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
like it's almost like you're so happy they're here, but you're also not afraid if they leave either. That's right. The perfect place to be. The last question I want to ask you is how you've made money with your team. A big reason. Mm-hmm. Funny enough, a big reason why you at first didn't want to hire was, this always happens, it was like, profit, I can do it all myself. And then you got a little hire happy. Then we had to fix that. How has your team made you money?
So many ways. I mean, first of all, the amount of space I have had as a CEO to think about curriculum, to elevate my offers and continue to elevate my offers, to invest in coaching and attend coaching calls. Like, how many people don't even have time to come to coaching calls that they want to come to because they're busy. Like,
I'm like, if you don't have time, that's a team and systems issue.
Right. So that alone, saving me so much time so I can pour back into my offers. And I come from tech, I come from product design. My philosophy has always been like, a good product trumps everything. You can have the best marketing, but if your product sucks, okay, you're not going to have longevity. So being able to constantly reinvent and re-pour into my communities made me so much money. Also, I've been able to assign my team tasks that have completely earned income for the business hands-free. So last year I was like, hey, I want an evergreen funnel. Here's the training I want you to do. Go find the emails. We have them, 1,200 of them. Go find the emails, repurpose them, write a new CTA. Tell the design team, these are the assets that we need. Like, I actually didn't even go that far. I was like, here's the funnel that I want. Dung, dung, dung. You guys create a project plan, present it to me. I'll approve it. And then I want it live by August 1st. And it was live by August 1st. And last year it made us
$12,000. $12,000. That's crazy.
It's like, that's 3 months salary for one of my team members.
Yeah. And you didn't, it literally paid themselves off.
Yeah.
Paid themselves off just by giving them a project like that. So good.
And that's just one example. I mean, like, even the fact that I always have clients on my podcast, like every week I might probably have like a client podcast because they're just constantly scheduling them. Right. Like,
right. And then
you're proactively. Right.
And then even setting up your affiliate system, like you set up an affiliate system for your last launch and you said you were getting more affiliates than you ever did.
Oh my God, how many affiliate sales did we get? Last launch was, I think I had one affiliate sale before and I told my operations manager, I want this whole affiliate system, go full on. They did it. And I think we got 7 affiliate sales.
For those wondering, and that's what, that's like $14,000 alone?
That's like $14,000. Yeah.
For those wondering, I have an entire affiliate system that is so good. I need to add it in because it's so good that people literally, like, in other programs ask me about it. They're like, tell me about the affiliate system. It's so good. And
crazy.
It's really not hard either. It's not that hard. I mean, there is a little tech to it, but it's good.
It's intricate, yep. But when it's set up, it works.
And it
my
works
team
so well.
Set it all up.
Yep.
Right. Yep. No, that has just been insane. And let's not even mention that all my Instagram content, I don't create. Wow. All of it. Like all of that is a system that we have where my team repurposes our emails, our design team gets assigned to the assignments. The first time I see my Instagram content is when I'm scrolling on Instagram and I see it. Like, how much money has that content made me? And yes, I was the one to originally write it when I wrote our emails, but like, there's no way I would have hit 500K last year.
You're able to be across platforms and be more visible and all of that because of your team. I remember when you were making your own graphics and sending them to me and being like, can you review this? Like, you used to make your own graphics when we first started.
Now I don't touch Canva.
Don't touch Canva. So
I don't even review or approve anything.
Yeah.
I've created a rubric for them to approve and review it themselves.
Yep.
It's magical. I love when I log into Instagram and I'm like, oh, that was such a good post.
I know. Every time I get a post, I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. We posted today. I love it. Oh my goodness. So good. Thank you so much, Gina. Tell people where they can find you.
Yeah. So the kind of main hub and spoke is my website, www.ginanox.co. That'll take you to the sales pages for my different offers. You can join my email list there. You can see our podcast, Save Six Figures with Gina Knox, from there. And also I hang out mostly on Instagram at Gina Knox. So would love to connect there.
Love it. Gina's emails and podcasts are A1. Her spender series is so good.
Oh, obsessed.
Thank you so much.